It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia has long been known for its apple production, but apple farmers are struggling and orchards are disappearing.
You know, just walking amongst all the trees and being able to see the fruit ripening and see heirloom apple trees, it was just this wondrous experience.
We'll have that and more coming up on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The West Virginia Senate passed a bill yesterday that would allow private and home school students to play public school sports and participate in other extracurricular activities. Dave Mistich has more.
Members of the Senate voted 24-9 Tuesday to pass the Tim Tebow Act. Senate Bill 131 is named after the Heisman Trophy winner and professional athlete who fought as a homeschooler for the right to play public school sports. Students instructed at home by private tutor or enrolled in a private parochial or church school would be able to participate in West Virginia Secondary Schools Activities Commission sanctioned events. Those students would pay the same activity fees required for public school students, as well as be subjected to the same academic standards and immunization and behavioral requirements. Students would also be required to register with the school in which they plan to participate in extracurricular activities. The bill would not guarantee a homeschool or private school student would make a public school team. Currently, 22 states allow homeschool students to have some access to participate in public school activities, according to the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Senate Bill 131 now heads to the House of Delegates for consideration. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
Sponsors of a bill that passed the House of Delegates yesterday say they hope their legislation will protect students' freedom of religion. Under House Bill 4069, counties would have to establish individual policies to prohibit discrimination against religion. The bill's sponsor says legislation was prompted by an event in October when high school football teams were photographed in prayer before a game. A Wisconsin-based nonprofit advocating for the separation of church and state wrote a letter criticizing the incident. Debate before the bill's passage focused on local control and what some Democratic delegates criticized as vague language. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice signed a proclamation declaring a state of emergency in 7 southern West Virginia counties affected by flooding last week. McDowell County was hit the hardest. Reporters Emily Allen and Caitlin Tan went to visit some of the rural townships this week where cleanup was underway.
My whole basin's all flooded out of her and everything, plus the hillside's washed out up there.
I was worried because I had family down here, family up here, and now here I was stuck in the middle, couldn't get up to do nothing.
I got up at 10 that morning, and it was already in the road. The water from the ditch was stopped up, and it was in the road.
This is Yukon, McDowell County. And that was Chris Frazier, Missy Hagerman, and Wayne Krager speaking.
Yukon is about 13 miles southwest of Welch, the county seat, and it's right along the Dry Fork River.
McDowell County was among the hardest hit by recent flooding last week. The National Weather Service reports that Welch had more than 3 inches of rain by Friday. All over the state, areas like McDowell are expected to get another inch this week.
I had water come through my back door and through the basement. My whole basement been flooded out and everything.
That's Chris Frazier again. We caught him on an ATV. Pulled over on the side of the road, chatting with his neighbor, Missy Hagerman.
My house was fine this time because State Road came and fixed the drain up there and everything, so we didn't get it this time.
By State Road, Hagerman means the Division of Highways, one of the state agencies sent to flood-affected areas to help reopen or clear impacted roads. Hagerman says her family and neighbors a few towns over were hit even harder.
Chris here, when we had the flood the other day and everything, he came down and he kept an eye on me and called me on the phone to make sure I was all right because my husband was at his mommy's up in Bartley.
I always keep check on her.
That's a few minutes down the road from Yukon, crossing the Dry Fork.
It's down the road, but he couldn't get out because it was over Bartley Bridge, English, all that got wiped out across the creek where the a few of my friends, it was around her. She couldn't get out. So... some of the places got hit hard. Berwyn got hit hard where my sister lives at.
Not everyone in McDowell was impacted by the flood. According to those who live there, it depends on how close you are to the river and what kind of infrastructure your town has to cope with high waters. But several people knew someone who had sustained damage, and everyone could recount a year with their own flood damage.
The 2000 flood was the bad one.
I haven't seen it this bad in years. You know, it's not really got up enough to get in yards and stuff like that and since back in 2000, I think.
Do you guys feel like every year, is there some kind of flooding, even if it's small? Is there some kind of...
Small things come.
Yeah, it comes up in their yards. And if you go down the road toward Bartley, you can see all the stuff up in the trees. Yeah.
That's Goldie Griffith. She's the wife of Lacey Griffith, a pastor at the Pentecostal Holiness Church in Yukon. He's been preaching for more than 60 years and can recall bad flooding dating back to 1957.
In an area where there's no strong economic sector and the coal mines are dwindling, Lacey says it's hard to rebuild every time after every flood.
Let me tell you about McDowell County. Sister, they're struggling. They are struggling. These people struggle. They are trying to live. Hard to live here.
The West Virginia Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management is still processing damage assessments. The agency's director visited under a state of emergency over the weekend. As things begin to flood, the DHSEM and the National Weather Service say they're most concerned at this point about mudslides. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Emily Allen.
And I'm Caitlin Tan.
According to a press release sent out yesterday, the National Guard is planning to send out some members statewide as the region gets more rain this week. When you think of some of West Virginia's biggest economic drivers, extractive industries like coal or natural gas are likely the first things that come to mind. But agriculture has been a fixture in West Virginia's economy for hundreds of years. West Virginia has been producing and exporting apples since the late 1800s. Yet today, farmers struggle to keep their business afloat. Roxy Todd has this look at some of the struggles apple farmers face and why some people think this is one economic development opportunity the state is overlooking.
Most of the apples grown in West Virginia are in the Eastern Panhandle. Katie Orr Dove's farm is one of the largest orchards in the state.
70% of our business is wholesale, which is going to grocery stores, other farmers markets up and down the East Coast to the Midwest.
Orr Dove and her family have managed to hang on to this property and their farm business for three generations.
I think there's always been challenges, and I just think it's the nature of farming that people overcome them. You overcome them and you adapt and go to the new trend, or you got a business and sell your farm.
And though Orr's farm is going strong, many farmers across the state are looking to sell their businesses. West Virginia produces about 110 million pounds of apples every year, just a third of what we used to grow in 1979. Apples grown in West Virginia have traditionally been sold as eating apples, or for apple juice or applesauce. Sweet varieties, like Golden Delicious apples, are good for those uses. But there's a growing demand for apples that can be used to make alcoholic cider, an industry that's on the rise across the country and here in West Virginia. The state now has two craft cideries that both use local apples. At Hawk Knob Cidery in Lewisburg, owner Josh Bennett has dozens of barrels of cider bubbling inside his warehouse. He buys about 80 tons of apples every year.
And there's huge demand for those apples. So it's kind of sad to see that there's not more of that going on in West Virginia when we're sitting in such a nice apple-growing climate and such a cultural heritage in apple growing.
Apples grow best in climates with moderate summers, not too hot, and places with distinct seasons, so some cold in the winter. This year, Bennett began buying his apples from Orr's Orchard, over 200 miles away, because his main source of apples sold their farm.
So we were sourcing everything within about 30 miles of the facility at Morgan Orchard, and that orchard sold last year. And it didn't sell to another orchardist, it actually closed. It sold to a turkey farming company. So at a personal level, I would say that was really sad to see. That was one of the last commercial orchards in southern West Virginia.
Many people we spoke to in Greenbrier and Monroe counties say they're sad to see this 100-year-old orchard close. Suzanne Williams has a small business making jams, which she sells in shops across the state. She used to get peaches and apples from Morgan Orchard to make into some of her best-selling products, rhubarb and apple jam.
Yeah, Morgan Orchard was one of my absolute favorite places to go as a jam maker because, you know, just walking amongst all the trees and being able to see the fruit ripening and see heirloom apple trees, it was just this wondrous experience.
Now she travels to the Eastern Panhandle to get her fruits and apples.
But I've had to up my prices a little bit because of the time and travel and gas involved, so that's unfortunate.
She's concerned that there simply aren't enough farmers left in southern West Virginia who can keep going and make a profit.
And I don't know that the Department of Agriculture can offer some kind of incentive for people starting up orchards. I just don't know if that possibility exists. I just know it's a tough business.
The farmers who sold Morgan Orchard did not respond to a request for an interview, and neither did the turkey farmers who bought it and bulldozed the 100-year-old heirloom apple trees.
Folks were pretty upset about the situation.
Brian Wickline is a WVU extension agent in Monroe County. He tried to find a buyer who would keep Morgan Orchard open. He even contacted agriculture schools and universities out of state.
We had some local folks who were interested in the orchard, but just really never could come up with the funding to purchase it.
He says the story of what happened to Morgan Orchard should be a wake-up call. The reasons they couldn't find a buyer who could keep it open as an apple orchard are kind of emblematic of the struggles most farmers in West Virginia are facing.
You know, we've got young folks that want to come back to the farm, and when you're not earning enough income to make that appealing for those folks to come back.
So even if someone really wanted to put in the long hours of running their own farm, few people could afford to do it.
Those young folks have to come back and they have to worry about their health insurance. How are they going to pay that? They have to learn about or work. They're concerned with how are they going to come up with enough money for retirement. So those are huge additional costs that were, if they were hired on at another business, in many situations that would be taken care of.
In addition to being an extension agent, Wickline is also a beef and dairy farmer. It's a lot of work. The cows have to be milked twice a day. His mornings begin at 6 a.m. Small farms like his make up the majority of agricultural businesses across the state. Costs are rising, but the profits are not. Because most farmers are operating at a small scale, there just is no way for them to earn enough money without drastically raising the price of food. And consumers aren't willing to do that. Increasingly, more of our food comes from large industrial farms.
So if we're able to keep those funds here locally, a larger amount of those dollars would stay in the local economy.
Wickline says state lawmakers could help by making it easier for small farmers to sell their products at a profit to customers locally.
School systems, getting local foods back in the school systems. There's some things that we can do here locally that would help out.
And they could also help farmers advertise niche products, like heirloom apples, to build up the brand for foods that are unique and special to the Mountain State. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Monroe County.
That story originally aired last night on our show, The Legislature Today. We'll hear more tomorrow morning from elected officials about some tangible things they say could help small farmers in West Virginia. Roxy Todd spoke with Kent Leonhardt, West Virginia Commissioner of Agriculture, and State Senator David Seipolt, Chair of the Senate Agriculture and Rural Development Committee. Join us tomorrow on West Virginia Morning. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.